Radio Reverb. Brighton Festivals 2018. Now. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2018 with Melita Dennett
and Rebecca Sandals
on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM on DAB and online at radioreverb.com. I'm Melita Dennett. This is Thursday's Brighton Festival special. We're here with you on the airwaves Monday to Friday during the festival, 5 to 6pm, repeat at 10pm and 9am the next day.
And I'm Rebecca Sandals, and for the next week and a half or so, we'll be looking behind the scenes at Brighton Festival, meeting some of the performers, the creators and the people who make it happen. Today, we'll find out how some of Brighton and Hove seniors will be dancing in perfect harmony on the seafront.
We're looking forward to a weekend of community events, taking in spoken word, dance, art and an awful lot more.
And we'll be hearing how Senegal meets Wales in an unusual musical collaboration.
Along with reviews and previews in the next hour here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM with Melita Dennett and the gorgeous Rebecca Sandals.
Let's get stuck in with Your Place, which is a community initiative that takes place at the Brighton Festival, and it takes the festival out of the city centre into some of the more outlying parts of Brighton. I mean, they're not exactly
far away.
Brighton and Hove,
and Hove actually.
It all started with a conversation with last year's guest director, Kate Tempest, and a year later, it's still going strong. Well, with us are Valerie Fouché from Hangleton and Jackie Summers from East Brighton, as two of the areas that Your Place is going to, joining us now. Were you both involved last year as well?
Yes, we were.
So who wants to tell me how it came about, how they were first introduced to the concept? Jackie?
The people who do Brighton Festival, Beth Burgess and then Naomi Alexander from the Brighton People's Theatre, got in touch with us and asked if we would sort of be interested in hosting events and being a part of the steering committee to put our ideas forward and make choices.
So where exactly are you doing the hosting? What venue are you?
We're at the Manor in East Brighton on Manor Road.
And what was your response when you were first contacted?
Yeah. It's just, well, why not? I mean, and then this thing with Kate Tempest, the fact that it was her as guest director that said, let's get it out into the communities, make it accessible to more people. Oh, it's just, why would you not be involved? It's amazing.
And Valerie, was that your response at Hangleton as well?
Yeah, we were, I remember Naomi coming around and visiting the community centre, and we thought that's going to be so amazing if we have one show from Brighton Festival in the community centre, and they came up with a whole weekend of free events, so it was like, we were totally blown away.
Yeah. So give us a flavour of some of the events that took place last year, before we come on to this year's ones.
Well, Kate Tempest obviously was amazing. We had quite a few children's events. I've got a sister with special needs. We went along on the Sunday. I was there anyway. And just initially for a coffee and to get the day going. And this kids' event, this book came to life. And it was just absolutely magical. That was brilliant. Oh, God, there was so much going on. There was, like, little workshops. There was a dance troupe outside. There was just something for everyone. And it was, again, to use the word again, blown away by the support we got, the amount of people that turned up, the performances.
Valerie, if I remember rightly, I spoke to you before the weekend last year, and you were not knowing quite how many people would turn up, who from the usual community centres users would come along, because it was so different for them. How was it? Who came along?
It was a bit mixed, but we had a few users of the community centre, not as much as we were hoping. And most events were full, but also people coming from outside of the community assisted to them.
I was wondering about that, actually. So people actually, you know, because you have to get out to Hangleton on a bus. Mm. You have to get out to East Brighton on a bus, which makes it difficult for people to get into town if you don't have any transport. I was wondering, actually, how many people came out and went like, this is the first time I've been to Hangleton.
A lot of people, but also for the community, for the local community, that was the first time they were going to a Brighton Festival event,
sure,
because they don't go to town, they don't take a bus and take the whole family.
So it's expensive.
Even when you have a car, just it's not something. Brighton Festival was completely out of the picture, and in town you can see how busy it is, how so many things are going on, but in Brighton, in Hangleton, you can go for the whole 3 weeks without seeing anything until this year.
You're agreeing there, Jackie. Oh, so was that the experience with you as well in East Brighton?
Totally. I think, it was like considered quite elitist, the festival, I think. So, to have it in the community and community members to make use of it and see what was going on was amazing. I also think this year, because we did last year, we've learnt from things, even though it was amazing, and people are actually going out in the community now with programmes and door knocking and getting sort of a dialogue going with people as well. So I'm hoping more local people will respond to that.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Festival special programme with Melita Dennett and Rebecca I forgot your name. Rebecca something or other. And we're talking to Valerie Fouché and Jackie. That was rude, wasn't it? I know we're definitely talking to Valerie Fouché and Jackie Summers. We're talking about your place, and we're going to be finding out what's happening in your place in 2018. Here is the first of a handful of tracks from The Great Escape. This is Lily Moore from Brighton. The track's called 17.
17.
Playing tonight at the Albert in The Great Escape at 9:30 from Brighton. That is Lily Moore. And you're listening to Brighton Festival special on Radio Reverb with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. And we're talking to Valerie Fouché and Jackie Summers about your place taking place this weekend.
Yeah, and Jackie, just before we heard there from Lily Moore, was telling us how you were doing a lot more to bring in the local community. So local people are thinking, no, this is all elitist, it's not really for me. Mm. And is that the experience as well, Valerie? Over at Hangleton, that you're, you know, reaching out to people more this year?
Yes, we are expanding in the park. And I don't know if you remember last year, it was all in the main hall and some of all the rooms we had. This year, there's going to be the bandstand, which is going to host a lot of music and dance and games and activities for kids. Bouncy castle and things like that. So it's going to be much more visible. Today, the bandstand has started to be set up and people started asking, what's going on? Mm. Can I ask, what's happening? Brighton Festival is coming. Oh, really? Yeah.
And the weather's going to be kind, I think it looks at the moment, doesn't it? Oh, is it?
I think it looks good.
Yeah, so that's good. So you'll get passing trade as well as those people who have seen it and said, I'm going to go and have a look. Mm. There will be people out there because the weather's going to be okay.
Well, if everyone between now and in the next 2 weeks could just sun dance everywhere, please. Just to sort of, so we can hedge our bets. We want sunshine.
So what have you got going on, Jackie? Give us a flavour of the stuff that's happening.
It's just going to be fabulous. It's just going to be a brilliant weekend because, again, although last year's was fab, I think this is going to be bigger and better because we've experienced last year and we're more confident in what we're doing.
So is it this coming weekend?
No, Hangleton is this weekend.
Okay, right. Yep.
And we're the 26th and 27th in East Brighton.
Okay.
But there's something for everyone. One of the most wonderful things about this, I think, is that the community can bond. It's a bond for the community to experience things together that they wouldn't have done. Sounds a bit preachy, that, and I don't mean it to, but it's just nice to see everyone together getting involved in stuff. One of the things I'm really looking forward to is Kate McCoy doing the washing up, which sounds
bizarre.
Hang
on, you've got someone doing the washing up? Hold on. Right.
Yeah, but no, she could do the washing up, couldn't she? It's actually based on what you think and feel when you're doing the washing up, the politics of the washing up, who does the washing up. It sounds mad. You've got to see it. Come and see it.
And I have to say, I do some volunteering for a charity in Brighton, and I was sent an invitation to go to a performance of that earlier this week, which I couldn't get to go to because I had other commitments. But so that is an example to me of how it was reaching out to volunteers for Impetus, a charity that, got invites to come along to one of the shows.
Yeah, it's all raising interest and awareness. Another brilliant local team, a Culture Clash. It were young people, rappers, comedians, poets, and they've just got such energy. They're very edgy, very urban, and they're just always great to watch. It doesn't matter how old you are. Just, come and get involved. It's amazing.
So I was wondering, and then you've talked about the impact during festival time, but for both of you, what do you think the longer-term impact is on your communities of this?
We've already had an early start because this year we had two artists in residence, and we had Kiki Stickle from the Phoenix and Kate McCoy from Brighton People Theatre who have been coming to our spaces and different groups, meeting different community groups in the community to start preparing an exhibition and avatars that will be in the park. And I'm really looking forward to the Random Act of Neighbourliness exhibition.
Nice. Mm.
So that's be nice to everybody in your neighbourhood.
Yeah, yes. and it is how people are and how we are as a neighbourhood and how we feel. I think the main theme is belonging.
I wonder if you've done anything like bring younger and older people together as well.
I tell you, the age group, the different ages watching Kate Tempest last year was out of this world.
Great.
It was a 94-year-old stood there watching her rocking out. It was amazing. So I think, yeah, it does bring young and old together. You're just all getting involved in stuff.
Well, I think, as you say, with the bandstand being out there for people to see, that is going to bring the people, all kinds of different people there, seeing what's going on. And that's this weekend.
Yes, this weekend in Hangleton, Saturday and Sunday.
And whereabouts is the bandstand, for those who don't know Hangleton?
In Hangleton Park, just outside the community centre.
Great.
Is that a number 5 bus?
All the number 5s lead you to Hangleton. Yes.
Great. All roads lead to Hangleton. Well, I have to say, Jackie Summers and Valerie Fouché, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Reverb. And I hope, I mean, where do you see our place going? I hope it continues into the future.
Yeah.
You just raised your fists in the air,
Dave,
Jackie.
Are you going to come along?
I am. I'm going to come up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you're hoping that this is going to lead into many more future activities in the Brighton Festival and within the community as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because it also raises awareness of the community centres as well and what we do.
Absolutely, yeah.
It does, yeah. And we have commitment from Brighton Festival for 3 years.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, which
brilliant.
Is amazing, yeah.
That's
brilliant.
Great. Look, so Valerie Fouché, all the best for this weekend, and Jackie Summers, all the best at East Brighton. Where exactly is the
thanks,
venue?
Guys,
in
it's
East
the
Brighton?
Manor on Manor Road. It's just off Eastern Road.
Great.
Past the hospital.
Is that a number 1 bus?
It's a number 1, a number 7. I think you can get a 37 somewhere.
Oh, get you.
Yeah.
Get you all those buses.
Get to the hospital and someone will direct you.
That's your place. Brighton Festival's your place coming up at the weekends.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM Brighton Festival special with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. Returning now to Great Escape Acts from Brighton. This is Breathe Panel. They're playing One Church on Saturday afternoon. The track is Carmine. From Brighton, in The Great Escape. Long outro. That's Breathe Panel. Track is Carmine, and they're going to be playing One Church at 2:15 on Saturday in The Great Escape. You listen to Radio Reverb, Brighton Festival special with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals. If I say your name enough times, I will finally get round to remembering it.
Now, let's see if you can remember what you've seen in the last 24 hours, Melita. Let's have
just
a look
about.
Back. We both went to see different things yesterday, actually, which are still on today and tomorrow, I think, both
yes,
of the shows.
Yes.
So, at the Spire in Kemp Town, you can see Transformer, and that's the Scottish visual artist Robbie Thompson, who harnesses the power of the Tesla coil. That's the 19th century invention that first allowed us to see electricity dance.
The way that you send the audio to the coil, sometimes it will come out in ways that are really quite unexpected. So there's a lot of happy accidents that I've found and different tones that I've come across that I've then recorded and made sure I can reproduce them to put them back into the show. My background is mainly in visual art and theatre, but like I make techno and different electronic music as well. So it's kind of a bit of a fusion of my visual work and also my sound work.
Now, I haven't been to see that. You have been to see that. Tell me.
Loved it. I mean, it's like going to... I mean, you can see he does DJing in clubs and you can see that ambiance in there. And the weird thing is, being at the Spire, aka former church, you have the sense of deity, the sense of worship. And you, I mean, I was with a couple of friends and we were all saying, it feels like you're kind of a cult looking at
wow.
this Tesla, this giant Tesla machine in a cage where an altar might have been in the olden days. And then slowly Robbie plays different tunes and the tunes vary from really kind of industrial house beat music to sort of much slower, droney sounding. And then loud moments. There was one great moment where there were sort of searchlights either side of the stage that went round. It was going...
Wow.
I started doing the sound effects like yesterday's.
Yeah, stop it, babe. Yeah.
But there was a moment the searchlights were going around. It was... I think there was moments where you thought, this is getting a bit long. And just as the mind was starts thinking, well, he changed the rhythm and the beat, and another thing came through. And there was the Tesla machine has sort of sparks coming out of its head. I thought it looked a bit like ET shaped when you're in the back there, and these sort of sparks come out.
Is it like the machine when Frankenstein's monster is created?
Yeah, exactly.
The lightning comes down from the sky.
Out. Yeah. And there is a sort of the crack and awakes kind of feel. And
wow.
at the end of it, there's quite a lot of sparks coming out. And I noted, it was being gender specific, but it did appear to be about five or six men with their phones getting very excited at the large electric show going on before them.
So I guess as well, because it has to be in a very large space, so the church will be a natural space for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a standing show. There are some chairs around the side. Mm-hmm. There was all ages there. There was someone with babe in arms, and they have headphones for smaller people, because it is loud. It's not as loud as some of the stuff I've seen. It's certainly not as loud as the Lou Reed Transformer.
That was triple loud.
That was extremely loud.
Yeah.
It's loud. It's well worth seeing. I enjoyed it. I think you're going to like it.
I think I'm going to like it as well. I'll tell you something else that I like too, because Fauna opened last night at the Theatre Royal. That runs through to Saturday. Circus and dance. And the performers transform themselves into spiders, lemurs, tree frogs and birds of paradise. Well, two of the performers, Rhiannon Cave Walker and Matt Pasquet, came to Radio Reverb to tell us more.
Fauna is a piece with five acrobats, me being one of them and Rhiannon being another, mm-hmm. and one live musician, and he's a acoustic guitarist using loop pedals and like electronic boxes.
Percussive kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah, percussive noises. Style. Mm-hmm. It's similarities and differences between human naivety, shall we say, and the animal kingdom, like more instinctive attributes of humans and animals. It's pretty abstract. It's not that we ever imitate an animal. You can perceive it to be what it is. Mm. We move in a way, and we talk with our bodies. There's no speech in it. It's purely physical.
Physical language.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all of us in the company, we're all really close friends, all six of us, and we've all trained together and been friends with each other for many years. So, like, the physicality on and off stage is really close and very expressive. And so that also is in our personalities as well. So all this expressive movement and the relationship between all of us, that's really evident in our show.
That's Rhiannon Cave Walker and Matt Pasquet from Fauna. And they were two-fifths of Fauna. A really fun evening, actually. It was dance, it was acrobatics, there was some trapeze work, and there were moments which... there was laugh out loud funny. So they were mimicking animals, not so much kind of literally, you know, this is a frog, this is a dog, this is a cat, but the kind of sense that you get from animals, you know, with the way we sort of anthropomorphise animals and we think, you know, some of them are a bit cheeky or some of them are a bit rude, and it was more kind of animal character. So I think it must have been the bird of paradise, very, very cocky, and another woman playing a bird and kind of coming and pinching little bits off of her, getting up on the trapeze, and incredible feats of strength and acrobatics. I mean, there were moments when the audience were gasping during that. Very, very entertaining, really, really good fun. It was one of those kind of shows where you just sit back and you just enjoy what you're doing. The performers clearly enjoying themselves as well. I mean, you could see they were really getting a buzz out of it.
Well, they looked a happy pair when they were in the studio yesterday, and I can imagine that the intensity of it. Is it an hour show?
It's an hour, yes, yeah. Yes.
A very, very intense piece of theatre.
I mean, they're incredibly athletic as well. Yeah. You know, the strength that's involved in that. But, you know, it's fun for all ages as well, because I think younger visitors will enjoy it because they'll get the fun of the animals, and I think adults will definitely gain something from seeing, you know, just these incredible physical feats. But the humour of it ran throughout, you know, really a really joyful piece.
Is there an actual narrative going
through? No, it's just them being animals, and there's a kind of wrapper upper where they talk about Fauna at the start, and then they go into Fauna is about, and then suddenly it all goes backwards.
Don't tell me the ending.
It's not a spoiler. There's no punchline. The butler didn't do it. Don't worry. And then at the end of it, the backwards bit then goes forward.
Did
and we
the bird
hear,
of paradise hear, do it?
The bird of paradise was responsible for all sorts of naughty things. Yeah, yeah. But no, absolutely fantastic performance. So it was a busy house, I have to say. So I think that one is definitely going to be selling out, that one.
Yeah, it's on right through the weekend.
Theatre Royal runs until Saturday. So tonight and Friday it's at 7:30. Saturday is a matinee, not an evening show.
And that Saturday matinee, is, from your experience there, good one for the kids.
I would think so. Yes.
As adults.
Yeah. And Transformer that we were talking about before as well. I'm going to that tonight. Runs through to Sunday at the Spire. Performance is 7:30 and 9:30, and that's £10.
You have to say it's XFRMR in the programme. I know because it's called Transformer, but believe it or not, Transformer is spelt XFRMR in the programme.
Yeah. So you won't find Transformer. You'll find XFRMR in the programme. Always check out the Brighton Festival programme online, because if you think things are sold out and people do buy their tickets. It's early. Things change. Go and check them out online, brightonfestival.org, and also on Twitter for last-minute ticket releases. Always worth, I think, just popping along and trying to get a standby ticket, and standby tickets are a tenner. So you listen to Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. I'm going to be talking about a community dance in a few minutes' time. First of all, before that, Zoloris White are playing tonight at St. George's Church.
You ready, Anna?
Yes.
Cretan music there from Zoloris White. Tonight at St. George's Church, track there is Daphne. You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. This is the Brighton Festival special on Radio Reverb, taking you behind the scenes, meeting some of the people who make the festival tick. And a dance event for everyone is taking place on Saturday. Dance the Nelken Line is a community come dance performance. It's created by German choreographer Pina Bausch, and it celebrates the four seasons. It's taking place on Saturday evening on the seafront, and we'll be talking to two of the participants in just a tick. First of all, let's hear a little snippet of the Nelken Line.
One, two, three, four.
Spring.
Summer.
Autumn.
Winter.
Falling leaves.
Spring grass small.
Hey, dance the Nelken Line.
Well, there is a flavour of the Nelken Line. You may or may not have got what it was from that, so I think we ought to find out really what the Nelken Line is all about. It's been put together by Brighton Dance Company 3Score, and we're joined by two of the participants, Vicky Crowther and Saskia Herrits. Have I said your name correctly?
Yes, Herrits.
Herrits, okay. Thank you very much for joining us on Radio Reverb. Good to have you here. So tell us a bit about the Nelken Line dance. How does it work?
It was the one that we're doing is an extract from the piece that was choreographed by Pina Bausch in the early 80s called Nelken. And when I was actually luckily able to be there, when the Pina Bausch Dance Company came over to Sadler's Wells in the early 80s, they performed this piece coming through the audience and up onto the stage, and I was entranced. I just thought, they are connecting with the audience, it's sense of humour, it's very simple, and I love the repetitive piece. And it's one of the main reasons that got me wanting to do contemporary dance.
So this is a dance where people take a line and they have certain movements and they're all doing the movements together.
Yes, and they're very. How can I put it? They seem simple, but in fact they're not, are they? As most simple movements are. So during the festival, it was about Thursday last week. We had the festival set up four rehearsals, which Jason Keenan Smith, our rehearsal director, 3Score Dances rehearsal director, led to teach everybody. We had about 100 people who were taking part on Saturday coming along and learning the four movements.
Vicky Crowther, you're one of the people taking part in this piece as well. Did you know about the Nelken Line before this?
Well, no, I didn't. And I just, something came into my Facebook and I thought, this is just so 3Score. We can do this. So I sent out a thing to all our colleagues, and everybody got very enthusiastic, and we decided, yeah, we would do this. And so the culmination is Saturday.
Now, I watched a few videos, because there's people all around the world that have done this thing. It's sort of a strange hidden subculture of doing the Nelken line dance all around the world in different places, in the rain, in Korea. I mean, it's just amazing. But you've actually have to learn the exact move. Everyone's doing the same moves, and you learn that from a video, do you? Is that how it works?
Yes. So we are lucky enough to have Jason going over and over and over it with us, who he's our teacher. But everybody else has looked on the video and has learnt it and then come maybe to some rehearsals. And it's a very, they're very quiet gestures. And the movement is very slow. And when you put them together, it's just lovely. It's just a wonderful celebration of Pina Bausch.
When I saw some of the videos, I thought almost it's kind of like Indian dancing with very, very gentle hand movements.
Yes, we have to keep the fingers alive because they're grass, and spring is that the grass is very, very small. And then the grass is growing tall.
So you raise your hands
with the
up.
Sun shining down on us that summer. And autumn, the leaves are falling gently off the trees. There's the tree, one arm up.
So Saskia's demonstrating by holding her arms up and her fingers out in very slow-moving manners above her head and in front of her, like plants and trees. Is that
so? That's right. Grass growing and leaves. And then it's winter. And we're cosy underneath our duvets.
And this is all done to a special piece of music. So it's done to Louis Armstrong's West End Blues. Why that particular piece of music?
It just seems perfect, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does. I don't know why, but the two match each other really, really well.
Well, I think we ought to have a listen to it, actually. And maybe, while you're in the studio, maybe you can do some of the movements for us and we'll see how it goes. Let's have a little blast of it. Was going on, we've had Vicky and Saskia doing the hand movement. So I guess the music itself, it's kind of a walking pace. I guess that's why
it's a good walk.
And you do the hand movements as you go along. So we saw the grass there with your hands being very expressive, and we saw the tree with your arms up, the leaves falling as your hands swoop down. I'm getting it. When it goes with the music, I'm really getting it. Is this a dance or a movement that anybody can do?
Absolutely anybody can do it. Children can do it. People with disabilities can come and do it. We've got a signing person to help with that. And older people like us can do it. Young teenagers, everybody.
Everybody can do it.
It's so very inclusive.
Tell us then a little bit more about your dance company, which is Threescore, because you've done a lot of interesting modern dance, but there's something very special about the company because it's actually for older people.
Yes, it was set up for people over the age of 60. And it was open when we started to anybody who was interested. So you didn't have to have danced before in your life, but we did have auditions. So if somebody was actually very clearly, what do you say, two left feet.
That's me, yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't have had me, for example. I was thrown out of the Beggar's Opera chorus line in a school play because I couldn't march in time.
Or were unable, you know, because they might still be working, which many people are, to commit themselves.
But also, we couldn't have someone who clearly had got dance training.
Yeah, that's
so
interesting.
So, because we've come from the community, we needed to be part of the community so that people could see that older people can dance.
So how many people are involved in the event that's taken place on Saturday?
Almost 200.
What? It's going to be massive.
Yes. We're hoping it'll be the longest one submitted to the Pina Bausch Foundation's website.
So you video,
the Brighton
you
Festival
video it, you
one.
Send it in?
Brighton Festival is videoing it.
Great.
And sending it in, yes.
Amazing. Mm. So you better tell us then how people can see it, because I guess you've got all the dancers now. You don't need more people kind of pitching up on the day and like trying to hijack it or trying to skive in through the back door.
We'd love people to come and watch it, but we've now got our participants.
Right.
So, but if people come along and watch it, that would be wonderful.
So tell us the time and where people can go to see the Nelken line. Maybe then do their own Nelken line.
Yes, exactly. You know, people might do it on the beach or up above on the pavement for all we know, because we just want to dance to it. It's going to be at 6:30. There's going to be a rehearsal initially, which I think also would be fun to watch. Starting at what time, Vicky, is it?
I think from 5:30 onwards.
So this is on Saturday?
Yes.
This Saturday, so the 19th.
How long does the actual performance last that's at 6:30? So if you go down there at 6:40, is it likely to have finished then?
Not with 200 people, it's not.
Well, well, I think we're aiming for about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Finishing at the Peace Statue.
So starting off by the I-360?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So Vicky Crowther and Saskia Harris, thank you, from Three Score Dance, dancing the Nelken line Saturday night, 6:30. Get there an hour early and you can see them rehearsing. Maybe even have a little go yourself on the side up on the prom while you're watching them. 6:30, and it starts off by the I-360, heading to the Peace Statue. It's going to be the biggest Nelken line dance in the world ever, and it's happening in Brighton. Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on Radio Reverb.
I really just want to ask Vicky a question before she, about something else.
I'll let you.
She was, apparently, she let slip just before we went on air that she was one of the dancers on the stage at Attractor.
Which
is a performance earlier this week at the Dome that we absolutely
loved. It.
How was it doing that?
Oh, I've never done anything like, I think probably I was like a rabbit in headlights. But it was great. They fitted us with earphones, gave us instructions as we were invited to go up on the stage. We went up. We did what the dancers did. We all came together. It was just amazing. It was just wonderful.
It looked amazing. Because what happened during the performance, so there was the professional dancers on set, and that in itself was amazing with the Indonesian music and sort of grind and industrial sounds. And then one by one, about 18 to 20 members of the people in the auditorium stood up and went on the stage. And it was like, wow, what's happening here?
What's going on?
And then became part of this almost one entity the dancers become there. It was a fantastic piece. So it was lovely to meet someone who from the community who took part in it.
Thank you.
And respect to you for doing that as well, because I don't think I'd have done that.
I learned today that my grandson was in it, and I just wish I had, because it would have been so good to have danced with my grandson.
Next time.
Yeah, now let's talking of younger people. Young City Reads is the young person's version of the citywide reading group that happens every year in Brighton and Hove. We'll be hearing more from them on tomorrow's show, but one of their initiatives with the Brighton Festival is Adopt an Author, which began in 2003 to develop relationships between classes of students and children's authors. It aims to promote literacy and encourage young people to write. One of the adopted authors is Imogen White, author of the Rose Muddle Mysteries. Imogen came to Radio Reverb to tell us what happens when an author is adopted.
Well, it's a really lovely, lovely programme, this one, because it's often you go to schools and you get to meet them on sort of one-off where you're standing in front of an assembly of people. But when you'll get adopted by a school, you have this ongoing connection with them where you set them tasks and they do the work and then you get to feedback on their work. And so it creates a really nice kind of two-way conversation with the children. So it's lovely.
What kind of conversations are you having? What kind of questions do they ask you?
I'm with Carden Primary, mm-hmm. and they've been absolutely incredible. And the head teacher there, Helen, she wanted me to really work with their writing. So lots of authors set them sort of things that they can decorate and make them look nice. But I went straight in with the writing. So we've set them all kinds of tasks. And the end result is they've got a book that they've created for themselves.
Wow.
With their own stories.
Is that all ages at the school, or what particular age group are you
They're working? Year five. So that would be 10 to 11, I think.
Uh-huh.
But they're a really, really creative, brilliant lot.
And what do you actually get out of it yourself?
There is so much. I think you can never underestimate their imagination and their creativity, because you go in with certain kind of preconceptions and you read their work and you think, I wonder what they're going to do next week, because we've been doing a beginning, a middle and an end, so they've got a nice sort of end product that they can actually, where they're publishing their own book. And I always think, I wonder if they're going to do this next week and wouldn't that be good? And then they'll suddenly just do something completely mad and brilliant and you think, you know, you just can't second guess it. Last week I had, it was a football based story that one of the boys had written, and it was all sort of based around a football match, and I was like thinking, okay. And then suddenly there was yellow goo coming from the sky and he looked up and there was a UFO, but it wasn't any UFO. It was a Brighton and Hove Albion UFO.
Genius.
And that kind of genius is priceless. So yeah, I've just enjoyed the whole thing. They're smashing kids, they really are.
And you must get some really positive feedback then from teachers, because they must be delighted when they see that this has actually worked. So it has developed literacy, presumably it's encouraged reading, certainly encouraged writing in your experience.
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough to meet with Helen, because usually you meet them at the end of the project and we have a party at the Dome, and I actually get to meet them. So I feel like I already know them because I've been looking at their work, but I actually get to meet them in person. But I have met Helen already, and the feedback that I've had has just been brilliant. And for an author, there's nothing nicer than hearing that you've managed to get children that didn't particularly enjoy writing and enjoying it and being enthusiastic about it. And obviously that's what it's all about. So yeah, what a pleasure for me to be involved in that and to see that. And I think there are resources actually on the Adopt an Author site from the work that I've been doing with them. And I think Helen's wanting to roll it out to other year groups because it's been such a success. So yeah, I'm hugely pleased about that.
So Imogen, when is your big day with the youngsters, when they get to see this, the famous author they've adopted?
I'm so looking forward to it, and it's at the Dome, and we're going to have a little tea party, and I'm going to do hopefully a fun performance with lots of fancy dress and quizzes, and then I get to actually meet them and discuss their stories with them in person. And I, as I say, I kind of know who they all are now, or getting there, so it's going to be brilliant to actually put the faces to the writing.
Are you a little nervous about this?
Do you know, quite often if I'm going to do a function or something, it's quite natural to have a little bit of nerves, but this one I would say not at all, because I feel so confident that I'm going to love it, and that there's going to be such a good energy there that I'm not actually worried about this one at all.
That is children's author Imogen White. She is author of the Rose Muddle Mysteries, and she is an adopted author by Brighton and Hove City Reads, the Adopt an Author scheme, which is part of the Brighton Festival every year. So I'll be talking to young City Reads tomorrow. So Young City Reads is the kind of the junior version of City Reads, where Brighton becomes one massive book club for a month. And Rose Tremaine is the author for the kind of the adult, the grown-up City Reads. So Rose Tremaine's been hanging out in Brighton. In fact, if you've been to see her, I'd be interested to know if you've been to see her, because that one sold out very quickly. I think it sold out before even the festival was announced. But obviously it's a very, very popular thing, and it's really, really taken off. So we're going to be hearing about the Young City Reads version tomorrow. Also tomorrow, we're going to be talking about Brownton Abbey, which is coming up. So we're giving you some good advance notice of things happening in the Fringe. We'll also have a few more reviews, because our reporter Jack is going to see Zaluris White tonight. Be finding out all about that on tomorrow's programme. Same time tomorrow on Radio Reverb.
You're listening to Radio Reverb on 97.2 FM, DAB and online. And this is the Brighton Festival Show with her, Melita Dennett, and me, Rebecca Sandals.
And Senegal meets Wales in a collaboration between Kora player Sekou Keita and classically trained harpist Katrine Finch. They're appearing together at St George's Church. That's coming up Saturday the 26th of May. That's one of those pesky afternoon ones. I wonder if people have been caught out by thinking, oh, it's an evening one. No, it's an afternoon one. They're going to be playing for their new album, Soar. That's inspired by the migration of the Osprey. Slipstream's Mark Johnson got on the phone to Sekou Keita to find out what's in store.
Saturday the 26th of May, Katrine Finch and Sekou Keita will be playing at St George's Church in Kemp Town. I was lucky enough to talk to Sekou Keita earlier this week on the phone, and we started by talking about how the initial project of Katrine and Sekou getting together got underway.
So it was just a pure sort of chance meeting, really, to begin with.
Yeah, it's a chance meeting. It was not like, you know, basically planned. But, of course, the plan was Teatr Molden, Dylan, but also with Asta, our drummer, and John at the time, made this plan. They needed to make these two harps meet somehow, but they need to get really top players to do it. That was the plan behind, but it happened all accidentally, but in a good way.
And the writing process, is it just fairly fluid? You're both dramatically different backgrounds, aren't you?
It is indeed. Which is really interesting for me. We all started, of course, Catherine is classically trained, and I come from oral tradition, where it's improvised, and then...
Yeah.
So playing together was kind of like the first time we tried before the album, the first album. Catherine had a pen and paper writing things down, up and down, and then then he just realized that he actually have to throw the book away.
Yeah,
to get things work to go with our, you know,
get loose.
Exactly. And that was an amazing moment for me, release, because she's also a great, amazing improviser. She's not just classically trained, but she got her way of just, you know, leaving the book behind and play, and which is great. And the amazing thing too is just like how much similarities are between these two harps that we didn't know. Surprisingly, you know, some melodies come across. You know, one would be dating in medieval in Africa and Senegambia, and one would be dating medieval in Wales. It's just amazing. And then we just realized that notes are the same, keys are the same, almost same tempo.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It's really interesting for us to discover that. And as I always said, it sounds like the work of these two harps have been done way before our time. So that was the first album. This new album, the writing was different. You know, it's a chemistry of like 4 or 5 years of playing together, touring massively, playing, really gelled together.
You've played a lot, haven't you? You've played about 100 shows, I think, since then.
Yeah, over 100 shows, yeah. Definitely. It's like 4 years of process after the first album, tour and play.
Yeah.
Then it became the catchy point of doing this new album, because it took us, since 2013, the last one was. Together.
Music, and I know a lot of the listeners to this show have commented on how ethereal and ambient the sounds are. You know, it's a beautiful album. It's kind of focused, the theme is kind of focused on a sort of a migration and independence and flight. I read somewhere that it's kind of focused on the Osprey, which makes its journey from Wales to Senegal and back. That's correct, isn't it, I believe?
Yes, that's an amazing parallel to our story, to be honest.
Yeah.
The Osprey, I mean, we were doing an album, you know, it's not almost not sound like a context album, but it happened to be.
Yeah.
While we were writing, some of the writing I did with Catherine, especially the voice, was in the studio when I was singing Terangaba, one of the song, the second song, you know, going like, open the gate in Mandinka. Yeah, so, which then my manager was asking me, what are you singing? I said, oh, it's meant open the gate. My mind is with immigration. And then he said, okay, open the gate. That's really interesting. And then we start talking about it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get wider open. And then there was this story behind there, hanging and waiting. And there's an Osprey center in Wales. Interesting to find out the Osprey migrate in Senegal.
That's amazing, isn't it?
They fly, you know, 20 days on the whatever, get there, spend maybe a year, fly all the way back to the same place. You know, it's just like parallel to what we do. Catherine and I, you know, she's a woman, I'm a man, she's, you know, Senegalese, she's wild from Wales, and that different, able to share this journey together. And the amazing side of it is, see, for me, it is to see how these Ospreys make the journey.
Yeah.
No queue, no passport.
It's just such an amazing thing,
isn't it?
Amazing
freedom, and they get there. They get welcomed in Senegal, have the good time that they need to do, and then get back to the right weather when they want it.
It's incredible. The more I think about it.
It's just incredible. It's just an amazing thing, you know.
Well, it's absolutely fascinating to talk to you. We really will look forward to seeing you at the church. The sound, the acoustics there are really amazing. So I think
the sound is going to be, well, perfection.
Yeah. Well, we are looking forward to it. I mean, my experience in Brighton is all the amazing shows that I've done in the past, and I'm sure Catherine, so all that together collectively, we are very, very much looking forward to it.
It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Sekou, and we'll look forward to seeing your gig. It's on the 26th of May at St. George's Church.
Was Sekou Keita talking to Slipstream's Mark Johnson about his concert with harpist Katrine Finch, taking place at St. George's Church on Saturday, the 26th of May at 2:30 p.m.
You've been listening to the Brighton Festival special show with Melita Dennett and Rebecca Sandals on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, DAB and online. Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. during the festival, repeated 10 p.m. and 9 a.m. the next day.
And thank you very much to today's guests, Sekou Keita, Imogen White, Vicky Crowther, Saskia Harris, Jackie Summers and Valerie Fouché, and to reporter Mark Johnson. We're going to do all this again tomorrow. Thanks for your company. See you tomorrow. Bye.